Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing our look at Abram's concern of having no children as we pick up in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. So let's follow along as Pastor Chuck Smith begins today's lesson.
Then the Lord said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge afterward. They shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace." You won't have this great period of great darkness and all in your life, but your descendants. And of course, we know that it wasn't long after Abram that Joseph was sold by his brothers, and then he brought the family down into Egypt, the 70 souls, and how that during that sojourn, total of 430 years, of which 400 years was affliction, they multiplied and became a nation in Egypt before God brought them out with a heavy hand into the land. "So you will be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here." Now, here's an interesting thing. How long is a biblical generation? Well, here it happened to be 100 years. In the fourth generation, and we know they're going to be there for 400 years. Now, if you'll go to the genealogical records, you'll find that Levi was in Egypt, one of the sons of Jacob, and that Moses is the fourth generation from Levi. So just as the Lord said to Abram, though it was 400 years, it was only four generations from Levi to Moses. "They shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." Now, came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, there was a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between the pieces. And on the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt," or "to your seed I've given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and the Jebusites." Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. Abram was 85 years old. She was 75. She had an Egyptian maidservant. Remember, Abram went down to Egypt. Shouldn't have done that. That was a lapse of faith. He didn't have confidence that God could sustain him in the land of promise. And so he went down to Egypt, but oh, he came back stained, marked. One of the things that they picked up in Egypt was a handmaiden for Sarah, Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "Inasmuch as the Lord has restrained me from bearing children, please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarah. And he took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. It somehow did something to Hagar. There was something that transpired within her that she began to despise Sarah. She began to look upon her with scorn. Perhaps there was the question that maybe it was an impotency on the part of Abram that they could not have children. Maybe that was the suggestion. But now here is proof that it was not Abram's fault, but it was Sarah's fault, if fault could be used there, that he was prolific. She was the one unable to conceive. Whatever it was, Hagar began to look upon her in a disdainful way, and she was despised by Hagar. Then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you." Now, come on, Sarah, you're the one that told him to do it. But now she's blaming him. Why did you do that? My wrong be upon you. And she's now throwing the blame on Abram for what happened. "I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "She's your maid, she's in your hands, you do what you want." And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water. Now this is the first mention in the Old Testament of the angel of the Lord. And we will find the angel of the Lord appearing many times in the Old Testament. And many Bible scholars do believe that this reference, angel of the Lord, is a reference to a theophany. Actually, the angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus Christ appearing in a form to man. So whenever we come across the angel of the Lord, know that many scholars hold this to be none other than Jesus Christ, one of the theophanies. He found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. Actually, she was heading back to Egypt, and she had stopped at this spring of water. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." So the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said unto her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction." Ishmael means God hears. The Lord has heard your affliction. "He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren." The Arab people today are the descendants of Ishmael. God's promise that he would cause her descendants to multiply and not be able to be counted for multitude. But they were going to be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man. Today, much of the crisis that exists at the present time centers around the Arab people. So there are characteristics, ethnic characteristics, that we are not really putting down a particular ethnic group or elevating another or saying we're superior. Not at all. We're just recognizing certain characteristics and traits. But, you know, when we come to Jesus, all of that's erased. Because now we have a whole new origin for our existence. If any man's in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. He is neither Jew, Arab, Greek, whatever. He's now relates himself back to Christ, and he's a Christian. That's a whole new race of people. And they also have their own ethnic characteristics. Oh, what love they have for each other. What a caring, what a concern they have for each other. What a sweetness and what a peace marks their lives. What beautiful ethnic characteristics belong to Christians. Thank God we can make a break with that past when we are in Christ. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" So there she caught a glimpse of God, the one who sees her. "You are the God who sees." He saw the desperateness of her heart. Here she's carrying the child of Abram. She doesn't know what to do. Sarah's really given her a bad time, and she's fled, heading back towards Egypt, but that's a long Negev desert to go through and perilous. She's sitting there by the spring, and the Lord comes and says, "Now, look, turn around and go back. You're going to have a son. Call him Ishmael. The Lord hears, for the Lord has heard your cry." And so the Lord not only hears, he sees. And so she called him the God who sees. Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy, which means the well of the God who sees. Lahai Roy, Lahai Roy. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son. Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. He honored the name that was given by the angel. God hears. And he was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect," or blameless. The last time God spoke to Abram was when he was 86 years old. So there has been now an intervening time of 13 years. He waits now until he is 99 years old before he speaks again. And God is speaking to Abram again to inform him that Ishmael is not the child that God promised to give him. That God was to give him a son through Sarai. Now, in Romans, the 4th chapter, as it talks to us of Abram's faith, it declares, first of all, that he considered not his own body now dead, being 100 years old, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The indication is that he had become impotent, his own body now dead. The deadness of Sarah's womb is the statement of the fact that she had gone beyond the age of a woman bearing children. She had gone through the menopause period. God waited until Abram couldn't do anything about the promise himself anymore. And so he allowed Abram now to get to the place where it was impossible for Abram to do anything concerning the fulfillment of the promise himself. It's going to take an absolute miracle of God for the promise to be fulfilled. He allowed him to get to the place of human impossibility. Now, God often, as he works with us, does this very thing. He allows us to come to the end of ourselves, to the end of our resources, our ideas. He lets us get to that place of hopelessness before he works. Because God, when he works, wants the glory for what he has done. And when God works in your life, he doesn't want you boasting that you have done this marvelous work. Paul said, "What do you have but what you have received? If you have received it, then why do you boast of it as though you had not received it?" And we're so prone to take credit for God's work. We cry out unto God and we ask God for help and God helps us, and then we go out and tell what we did. You know, we're like Saul, who Jonathan was out wiping out the Philistines and he was blowing the trumpet in Israel, so all of Israel heard that Saul had done it. And when we relate the stories
of the victories and of the goodness. We often just put ourselves in, well, I really decided that I was going to trust God completely. And even at that, we try and, you know, make it my trust and my faith, and, you know, God honored my consecration or whatever. And so God lets you get into those totally impossible conditions where you throw up your hands and say, that's it, I've had it. And we become totally desperate, and then God works, and there's no way that we can boast. And there's no way now that Abraham can get in the way of God by trying to intervene and to help God out. He's beyond that point now. He's 99 years old. His body is now dead as far as the possibility of procreation, and now God does his miracle, for which only God can receive credit and receive glory. And so he appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. The word Almighty is El Shaddai. The word Shad is breast in Hebrew, and it is the place of life and nourishment for the babe. And so God is saying to him, I am the place of your life and of your nourishment. It all comes from me. You're dependent upon me for life, for nourishment. I am God Almighty. I am the El Shaddai. And you've got to look to me for life. Walk before me. Now, we read earlier that Enoch walked with God. In Deuteronomy, God said to Israel, walk after me. In Colossians 2:6, Paul said, as we have received Christ Jesus as the Lord, so walk ye in him. And so four different prepositions used as the walk with God. Walking before God is walking in his presence, conscious that God is watching me, looking out over me, caring for me, and I'm walking before him as I walk in the presence of God, an awareness of that God is watching over me. Walking after God is the position of the servant, walking after his master. When God said to Israel, walk after me, he is actually calling upon them to serve him. Walking with God, as did Enoch and Noah, indicates that fellowship that one has as we walk with God, that beautiful communion and fellowship. But walking in him signifies that complete oneness and union that is ours with God. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Walking in Christ Jesus. Walk before me how? Blameless or perfect. God's ideal requirement for man is perfection. And you wouldn't really expect anything less from God. I'm not surprised that God would require me to be perfect. In fact, I would be shocked if God said, well, go ahead and be slipshod and cruddy, you know. Be as you want. That would not be in keeping with the nature of God. God would not require anything less than perfection. And always know that God's ideal requirement for you is perfection. Walk before me blameless. When Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, he again required the same thing. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, when you tell me, well, God requires me to be perfect, I say, thank you, but I'm sorry. I can't. I would love to. I've tried to. But I am far from perfect. How I would love to be perfect. How I would love to fulfill God's divine ideal. But I can't. Now, the word sin has as its root meaning missing the mark. And the Bible said all have sinned. Now, a lot of people get upset when you say, well, you're a sinner, man. Well, just a minute now, you know, I'm not too bad. I, you know, do what I can, and I help little ladies across the street. But just a minute.
missing the mark. What's the mark? Perfection. Have you missed that mark? No one's perfect. Now, because man could not fulfill God's divine requirement, God sent his only begotten Son, who took our sins, our missing of the mark, and he died in our place, so that God's actual requirement for me now, who am not perfect and could not be perfect, God's actual requirement for me now is that I believe in his Son who he sent. They said to Jesus, what must we do to the work of God? He said, this is the work of God. Just believe on him whom he sent. And so God's actual requirement for me now is that I believe in Jesus Christ. And by my believing in Jesus Christ, God accounts me righteous. So I am God Almighty. Walk before me blameless. The power of walking before him blameless comes to us through Jesus Christ and walking in him.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis in our next lesson as we learn more about Abram, Abraham, and the Almighty God. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD, and phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today, online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you and strengthen you and bless you and keep you in all your ways as you walk in fellowship with him. May your life be enriched in the fullness of that mercy and grace that he has extended towards us through Jesus our Lord. God bless you and give you a beautiful week. Strengthened by the Lord, may you abound in all things in Christ, to the glory and the praise and the honor of our God, our Savior and our Lord. In Jesus' name.
In the light of God's special gift to us, why not celebrate this Christmas with a gift that acknowledges our Lord's birth? When thinking of gifts this year, consider the Word for Today's selection of resources. This season, give the gift of God's Word. Call the Word for Today for assistance in finding materials that share the gospel and reflect the true meaning of Christmas. Bless other believers and share your faith. Let's get the word out in these last days.
Right now, the Word for Today has drastically reduced the prices of many of their resources, including free and discounted items to help you financially when considering gifts for loved ones. For more information, please contact us by visiting our website at thewordfortoday.org or call us at 1-800-272-WORD. Again, the number to call is 800-272-9673.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.